network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of January 7th, 2020. I can't believe it's 2020. Yes, it is 2020. I guess everyone's saying it's 2020. Welcome to the 20s. And this is episode number 421. So I tried to time that out, but it didn't work out so well. But that's okay. 421. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, and we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com, and welcome to all of those people in the chat room. I really love to see people in the chat room. It's exciting to see people chatting and showing up and showing your support for the show and the network. Do appreciate that a lot. This week, we got some interesting news. I don't want to hold on to anything from 2 weeks ago. We've taken the last couple of weeks off. So happy New Year to everybody. Did not have a show the last 2 weeks because it was Christmas Eve and it was New Year's Eve. But I did have a replay, and I hope you enjoyed that for the last couple of weeks. And but this week, things are taking off. I mean, in more than one way. It's getting a little crazy out there. The weather is probably set to get crazy on us, and here in the United States, things are getting crazy in a multitude of ways, but we always have the paranormal to distract us from the everyday aches and pains of life and living, and sometimes these things intersect. Sometimes they cross over on each other. Tonight, we've got a lot of UFO stuff to cover. I don't know what's going on, but it looks like UFOs are here to stay, and it's going to be the year of UFOs continued from last year. And we're kind of set up for 2020 to have a lot of UFO stories, a lot of them taking place with this astronomical year that we have ahead of us. We'll talk about that. And SpaceX, well, they fulfilled on that promise. Talk about that. So we'll talk about some politics. Ouch. About 400 people just left. No, not too far into politics, but you probably saw the headlines. Yes, another politician makes promises of disclosure. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about a British astronaut saying that aliens are here. What did she mean by that? We'll talk about that. And drones. This is the big story right now. This is getting very big. Here in the United States, it's the biggest, well, I should say the biggest story, but it's the biggest paranormal, strange, odd, weird story. And at first, you know, when this thing first cracked, it wasn't very paranormal, but now I'm starting to see some really interesting things that I'll share tonight. I'll also talk about British children, a lot of British stuff in the news tonight. British children interested in the paranormal. What are they thinking? And yeah, comments in the chat room, Australia, just horrible. What's happening down there to my friends down there in Australia? Lots of fires. It's just horrendous. What's happening out there? And you know, I don't want to ever complain about the weather or anything here in the U.S. When I think about what's happening in other places, you know, what happened in United Kingdom over the summer, and now what's happening in Australia. It's their summer right now. Just horrible stuff. But anyway, yes, I'm your distraction for the next 56 minutes or so, and I'm excited to be back. I'm glad to be back. It was a couple of weeks off for me, nice little vacation, and I'll be back next week, but then, yes, sadly, taking a little bit more time off. Real quick, I'll be back. Won't be too long, but you can stay in touch with the show if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you want to add any kind of paranormal conferences or conventions, all that fun stuff. You can get a hold of me through the website, of course, at paranewsinsider.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, /paranewsinsider, on Twitter, at paranewsinsider. Or, you know, like I said, just the website, paranewsinsider.com. There's a contact page. You can, if you're wanting to listen to the show, hopefully I'm on pretty much every network out there as far as upload through Podbean. So I'm through Podbean. Should be on iTunes. Well, I know I'm on iTunes. Better be. Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict. I even have a YouTube page, Podchaser, TuneIn, you name it. This show is out there. And also, don't forget that the Paranormal King Radio Network is also out there. And the family of shows that are available here are also available through most of those networks and probably a lot more as well. So check that out. Not now, but later. Just bookmark it. So the events listing, I mentioned paranormal conferences and conventions. Right now, it's kind of quiet. It's the calm before the storm, as they say. I don't have anything in the ghost area until February. And UFO events, nothing on the calendar until March. And as far as cryptozoology, I do have one later this month, January 24th and 25th. Longview, Washington, we have the Squatch Fest 2020. And I do have a little bit of work. I'm a little bit behind. Actually, let's see. I do have one event I definitely have to add tonight. Brought to my attention, and it's an event I spoke at last year. The Haunted Heights Paracon takes place May 8th through the 9th, 2020, in Houghton Lake Heights, Michigan. And like I said, I spoke at that last year. Was it last year? I think so. Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Did some UFO stuff. Really exciting. Michigan has a pretty deep history, some interesting stuff. You don't want to miss that event. It's a pretty unique event, really interesting area as well. And as far as what I've been doing, see, I was on the Paranormal Road podcast with Dave Hensley and Randy Kessler. That was a few weeks ago, I think about 3 weeks ago now. You can listen to it whenever. It's on Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn. Sounds familiar. Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere as well. And you can check them out at paranormalroad.podbean.com for that show. And I really got to get around. I've just been really lazy the last couple of weeks. Well, not really, but I feel like it on the paranormal front anyway. I need to get a hold of the Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio Show, and I'm going to be on that pretty soon. I just got to get that set up. Really interesting show, really interesting format. You're really going to like that episode. I'm excited for it. I just got busy through the holidays. I got to set that on the back burner, but BigfootEyewitness.com. Check that out, and hopefully I'll be announcing that pretty soon, and we'll get on that show. You're going to like that format, I'm telling you. If you like Bigfoot stuff, you're really going to love not just my interview, but anybody's interview. It's pretty neat. He generally talks to witnesses of UFO or Bigfoot encounters, not UFO encounters. And they'll tell their story, and then they basically just answer some questions, which sounds really simple, but it's really interesting to listen to. And it's really, really, it draws you in. But mine is a lot of research, and I can't wait to get on that show. So we're going to jump into some new news, and you know, like I mentioned, this is the year of UFOs. I'm predicting this. Last year, we saw a really kind of scattered, you know, I guess we had the Storm Area 51 thing, but that wasn't really about UFOs, but really started to take the front page news, if you will. And it's for me, it's really kind of, I don't want to say silly, but it's, I kind of laugh about it, because seeing people talk about UFOs in such a serious tone, it's hilarious, because you look at the last, 20, 30 years, and everyone just makes fun of it. They always laugh on the new newscast. Oh, there's lights in the sky. Oh, somebody cue the X-Files theme. Yeah, and they tend to make fun of it, and it's tend to be a joke. And it's always, well, we got filler at the bottom of the show. Let's just throw in that silly UFO story, and we'll all make fun of it, throw paper airplanes around the newsroom. And, you know, the weatherman will make sounds and just act stupid. But now it's beginning to be taken seriously. And I think as we head into 2020, it's going to be even more serious. I think a lot more stuff is going to come out about UFOs, potential disclosure, and maybe what the government actually knows. Who knows? So UFO news, a hot topic last year, and I think, again, it's going forward, we're going to see a lot of these stories. Again, we saw the U.S. government really taking the center stage talking about the UFOs, which is, again, it's really mind-boggling because we're used to private people trying to get disclosure from the government. Now the government's the one talking about it. We've had a lot with Tom DeLonge, To the Stars Academy, you know, and a lot of other explainable stories, stories that came out that we were able to explain. But still, UFOs are being taken seriously. And this year is really ripe with a lot of astronomical things. And by astronomical, I mean space. And unfortunately, things that happen in space tend to confuse some people. And it's going to more than likely spur some UFO sightings and stories. That's my prediction. And with that being the first full week into the new year, we've already had one meteor shower. It was a pretty small one. I didn't really see anything with that. SpaceX has already launched one batch of Starlink satellites, and we'll talk about that actually a story next. During both of last year's launches, there were a number of UFO sightings attributed to the distribution of the 60 satellites deployed in a string across the sky. And, of course, they had two batches, one in the spring and one in the, well, I guess early winter or late fall, I suppose, if you want to get technical. And it did cause both launches caused a little bit of stir as far as UFO sightings were concerned. And SpaceX is going to launch a lot more rockets this year with the Starlink system of just a blanket of satellites up there for internet purposes. It's going to cost you money, though. I don't think it's going to be free. And hopefully, as public knowledge continues about these satellites, this mistaken identity and panic will slow down. People were freaking out about this in a lot of countries and a lot of states here in the United States as well. OneWeb will launch their own internet satellite. So get used to that. When I say OneWeb, yeah, get used to that. We're going to be talking about that later on this month and early into February as well. They're going to launch satellites on January 30th, and then we'll launch two more times this year, a batch of satellites. They plan on only sending up 34 craft to meet up with the six test satellites that are already in orbit, very similar to what SpaceX did. And then OneWeb will probably send up another two batches of 60 satellites. Eventually, they're going to have 650 of their own satellites in orbit by the end of 2021, making the skies pretty crowded between them and SpaceX. SpaceX plans on having about 12,000 of these things zipping around the planet. I'm not really in favor of that. You know, good for people. Good for the internet, all that connectivity jazz, but I'm not a huge fan of having all these satellites all over the place, zipping through the skies, not just because of the astronomers and the reflections that they're going to cause, but I don't know, it's a little spooky, There's also going to be a lot of talk about Mars later this year, so not only am I predicting this, but it's also true that there's going to be some Mars stuff happening, and this is Mars stuff happened last year, but a lot of people are going to be talking about Mars. NASA launched the third U.S. rover to the Red Planet later this year. However, despite the launch taking place around July 17th, the rover is not going to land on Mars until February of 2021. The European Space Agency will also launch the Rosalind Franklin ExoMars rover sometime in late July or early August. And China will also launch a rover and an orbiter to Mars around the late July or early August timeframe. And the reason why they're all launching at that same time is to catch up with Mars as it gets very close to Earth. It's the prime time to launch things so you can get it on a trajectory to hit Mars at the right time. Add in a solar eclipse in South America and the potential launch of SpaceX Starship. That's right, there's a Starship going up. Gosh, all this stuff and Space Force and starships, it's what a time to be alive. There could be a lot of misinterpretations of UFOs and fabricated stories about UFOs, but we'll make an interesting and exciting year for space exploration nonetheless. And I'm telling you, a lot of UFO stuff coming up this year. Unfortunately, then next year when these rovers land and start taking pictures, people are going to assume that they're seeing bases and stuff on Mars, which is probably not going to be true. And it starts all over again and over again. Let's see. Question in the chat room. Is MUFON the number one UFO agency? Well, it depends on what you mean by UFO agency. I think MUFON is the largest UFO reporting agency. As far as researching and actual investigations, I don't know how much they really investigate anymore, to be honest. I know state by state they investigate a good chunk of these cases, but I don't know how many anymore, to be honest. But I think worldwide, I mean, they're the largest in the United States, but every country seems like they have their own UFO reporting agencies and investigation agencies. But I think if you put all these together, MUFON's probably the biggest for now. But we'll see, because of all this talk of UFOs, I'm surprised, very surprised, that there's not more groups popping up that are focusing on investigations and researching all these strange things in the sky. We shall see. And talking about these potential UFO sightings, well, it didn't take too long for all this to happen because SpaceX, well, they launched a satellite last night. And, of course, people thought they saw UFOs because that's what happens. Let me throw this. I'm going to throw the link in the chat room from the prior story. So if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on links. Yes, sharing links. And some of these links aren't the most popular ones you may find on paranormal news websites. Some of these I kind of dig up to find the original link or ones that have specific information about what I'm talking about. So there's the link about the space calendar events for 2020. And like I mentioned, SpaceX, well, they created a little bit of drama. Last night, they launched 60 more Starlink satellites, which now brings them up to a total of 180. Yeah, this is a sore subject with me. But the latest satellites are coated with a dark cover to help lessen the reflectivity from the sun during darkness. Well, we'll see how well that does. It's still going to reflect any object in the sky. And you may wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, the sun is frequently reflected to the viewers on the surface from medium to high altitudes. This happens pretty much, I always tell people the time frame from the sunset until around midnight, you know, until the sun goes around the Earth. Yes, because the Earth does have a curve to it. It's not flat. This is not a flat Earth show. Sorry. Just lost 10 listeners. But, yes, when the sun goes down, it appears to be dark here. The sun is still shining across the sky. You just can't see it because it's not hitting anything, well, until it hits something. So when a satellite is moving, spinning in space, it'll connect with the sun, and you'll get what they call an iridium flare. And it looks like just a bright spark. And it's, you know, pure white because the sun, yeah, it's yellow. But in reality, when you see it, if you look at it, go ahead and try it tomorrow. It's very, very bright. No, don't try it because I'll get in trouble. Don't do that unless you got those special eclipse glasses. Even that, it doesn't look white. But yes, trust me, it's very bright, almost like a white. If you see these things reflecting purely off of it. And, you know, this is happening a lot. But not just that, but the sheer amount of these satellites flying through space has interrupted a lot of pictures of people trying to take deep space photographs from the Earth's surface. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, 12,000 plus all these other companies, not good. Not good. SpaceX launching these another 60 satellites into space. UFO reports, of course, flooded in a few states, especially in the South, including Nebraska and Texas. And numerous photographs of the line of satellites began showing up on the internet a little after the launch. Now, the satellites were over South America, but you could still see them, especially from Texas. And lots of people posting pictures. Luckily, a lot of people knew what they were looking at, but there was still a little bit of panic, people calling in news channels about seeing the string of lights in the sky. And People thinking that planes were crashing and UFOs were invading and the world was coming to an end, as usual. That's like a weekly thing around here, I guess. But yeah, as this goes on and on, as they get closer to their 12,000 plus satellites, hopefully people will get a little bit more used to these launches, and they will ultimately become used to this, and people won't panic. I'm sure people will panic. I mean, my goodness, they announce in Florida, they make big announcements about these rocket launches, and people still panic when they see these rockets in the sky. So I don't know. I don't know. So let me get that. I'll get that link. Toss it in the chat room gently. Gently. Get your hard hats on. Here it comes. And yeah, more UFO news. So 'tis the season. And you may have seen this. You may have heard about this. Politics and UFOs. It's almost like you would think it would be oil and water, but it's not. It seems like it goes hand in hand. I mean, you can go back to Jimmy Carter, for instance. He had a UFO sighting, right? And as far as I'm concerned here on the show, I generally like to steer clear of talking about politics. I do the best I can to tiptoe around it. And really just about anybody. There's certain people I like to kind of get fired up about politics because I know it ruffles their feathers. I can say certain people and certain things and they get really excited. It's kind of fun. Poke the bear. But the topic does come up from time to time in the paranormal, especially when people promise to disclose information about what the U.S. federal government knows about UFOs and related phenomena. You know, I mentioned Jimmy Carter, but we can also talk about Hillary Clinton. And she made this suggestion back in 2016. U.S. presidential candidate Andrew Yang said back in July of last year that he would love to provide information on classified information and provide disclosure as long as it doesn't cause public harm. In August of last year, Bernie Sanders made a similar promise. And of course, these are the just the latest in a long line of politicians to make these kind of promises. I mean, you know, presidential candidates making promises, they usually come true, right? Usually come true. Ouch. No, they don't. Just kidding. Well, now there's a new hat in the ring. That's right. Democratic presidential candidate Senator Amy Klobuchar has also made comments about getting to the bottom of the truth. So I guess that's her platform. I will give you truth on UFOs. Vote for me. Storm Washington, D.C. Maybe that's going to be her thing. I think I just got her campaign sign. Storm Washington, D.C. That's going to be her new thing. They can't vote for all of us, or we all can't vote for her. I don't know what it is going to be. It's just I'm making it up as I go, folks. So will we ever see transparency and disclosure about what the government really knows about the UFOs? Well, let me answer. I can answer that real quick for you. I don't have to ponder anything. Probably not. And not because there's such top secret information that no two people have the same information and there's various levels of knowledge and nobody can agree on anything, or there's such top secret information that nobody can get eyes on anything, and even the president isn't clear enough to get any of this stuff. But the sad fact is, I don't think the government really knows as much as what we give them credit for. I think that's the truth. I think that's the real disclosure. But I'm sure they have reports and they have some stuff that we don't know about that we've never seen. So, you know, maybe we can get a little bit more information, or at least some explanations. That would be nice about some of the things that have gone down over the years that people can't explain. I think they may know a little bit more about those things. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking to see the bodies, if there are any. Just like nod your head. Just kind of like, yeah, okay, we do have bodies. I'd be like, yeah, all right, we got bodies. That's great. So years ago, disclosure, that was the big word. That was the big key word being tossed around everywhere. And it would be something that a serious candidate wouldn't definitely not talk about publicly. You know, they may make a mention of it. Again, they snicker and laugh about it, but nothing that they would really put on their platform. You know, but now, you know, we're talking about this. The popularity of the Storm Area 51 event last year and the brewing interest in the multiple UFO videos by the government and the general public, people are concerned. People want answers. And I think we're getting closer and closer to this to actually being taken seriously by a lot of people, you know. And, I mean, I think there's a lot more pressing issues, you know, healthcare and, I don't know, safety and government student loans. I mean, we just go on and on. There's a lot more serious things than even those. But disclosure, I don't know how far up on the list it is. But still, I think it would make a lot more people calm. Granted, there's some people that you could tell them the truth and they would still call you a liar. So I don't know. But it is becoming a little bit more popular, a little bit more mainstream. And who knows, maybe we'll get somebody in the White House that'll actually, you know, make a special announcement. This just in, here's my information about UFOs. That would be great to have a fireside chat and disclose information about UFOs. That would be really exciting. I would vote for that. But until then, is your refrigerator running? Because I would vote for that as well. So there in the chat room is another link. And speaking of UFOs, speaking of aliens, speaking of the United Kingdom. Did I speak of the United Kingdom? No, I did. Yes, I did. I mentioned them. And we're going to pack our bags and we're going to go to the United Kingdom just for the story. But we'll be back. We got a kind of a round trip ticket tonight. So we're going to take off from the United Kingdom. So Britain's first astronaut, yes, first astronaut, is telling the public that not only are aliens real, but they could be living with us right here on Earth, maybe next door to you. Do you really know your neighbors? Did you bake them a pie? Have you ever given them the mail that's misplaced in your mailbox? I didn't think so. So you might want to find out who's living next door to you or across the street. Yeah, they could be here. Helen Sharman, who flew to the Soviet Mir space station back in 1991, is convinced that aliens are here. Sharman stated, quote, "Aliens exist. There are no two ways about it. There are so many billions of stars out there in the universe that there must be all sorts of different forms of life. Will they be like you and me, made up of carbon and nitrogen? Maybe not. It's possible they're here right now, and we simply can't see them," unquote. Sharman was recently interviewed by The Guardian and covered a number of topics from her childhood to her gender, being brought up as a child as well as an adult. When she was young, she was told that she would be the only girl in physics and chemistry classes if she bothered to go. Well, that's quite sexist. Despite being the first of seven Britons to enter space, she's routinely defined as the first British woman in space, which it's not a lie. It's true. But I think being the first person, first Briton in space is more important than your gender. I agree. What about those aliens, you ask? So she's pretty convinced, and that's a pretty bold statement, you know, for an astronaut to say, yes, they're here, and they're living next door to you. That's pretty bold. But, in the original article, it's really just another quick paragraph in a short interview. It's just kind of a silly little question that was asked. Yes, the UK has astronauts. Somebody's asking that. Yeah, they're out there. I think a lot of countries now have astronauts. Is Australia? I think Australia does too. Of course, Russia, they're crazy. They've been launching dogs to the moon for 50, 60 years now. While The Guardian treated that part of the interview as just an optimistic view of the world, other online news organizations such as CNN and USA Today, they treated it almost like an acknowledgement that aliens are here, that she's got proof that aliens exist on planet Earth. I was kind of shocked by that they would use that, they would kind of twist that one little piece in that entire article and focus on it or blow it up. And granted, they did talk about some of the other issues, especially the gender issue, but they seemed to focus on this alien thing and make a bigger deal about it than I think what was really intended. I think it was kind of a almost, I don't want to say tongue-in-cheek, but they didn't really explain it very well, and neither did The Guardian. They just kind of left it, you know, it was just her interview, so they just left her comments as they were. Didn't really go into depth with it or anything like that. So Sharman was seemingly talking about simple microbial life forms. So very simple life forms, nothing complex, nothing with multi-celled organisms, not like little green men running around doing anything weird. And they could be here on Earth, deposited by a meteor, which is kind of hypothesized. That's how life got here in the first place. But I don't think she's talking about, again, little green men or complex organisms, especially ones that are flying around in disks or balls of light, such as UFOs. It's very interesting to see, again, mainstream news taking this alien life angle and making it serious instead of making a joke out of it. I'm not sure I like it taking it out of this context for clickbait. Kind of, I don't know, just kind of touched me the wrong way, I guess. Not like that. It's disgusting. But here is the link in the chat room. And I just didn't understand why they would just focus on that primarily. I do know, because it got attention, such as myself, I suppose. So I guess I'm to blame, partially. Interesting that another astronaut's coming forward and basically acknowledging, yeah, it's possible that there's alien life forms here, but granted, they're microbial, small, little pieces of life, but that's a start. And, you know, who's to say, you know, Earth just didn't spawn life, we don't think? Well, we don't know any different right now, but, we could technically be aliens as well. You know, we got here somehow, we just didn't. Well, I guess we could have just come out of nothing, but we'll find out. We'll find out. So that's your UFO news. That's like half the show. And I think it's going to be like that for quite a while. So here at the bottom of the hour, and again, you're listening to the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider through the website of ParanewsInsider.com. That's an interesting question. Who is the best UFO investigator now that Stanton Friedman has passed away? That's a good question. I don't know. He was certainly an excellent investigator, probably more of a researcher, you know, looking through data and information more than actually going out and boots on the ground kind of guy. I don't know. That's a great question. I really don't have an answer for you. I know that doesn't help, but there's plenty of people out there that are looking into things. Plenty of people who have been around a long time that have been researching things. But I don't know. It'd be kind of hard to rank everybody. I don't even know if Stanton Friedman was really the best. I mean, he certainly had a lot more information than anybody else. But, I prefer somebody who's balanced, somebody who's boots on the ground, out looking in the sky, out talking to people, but also going through research and researching stories and information history and all those things combined. I think both halves have to be there. So much nowadays you see the focus on people just sitting behind a computer, people Googling things. Oh, that's not good enough. I'm sorry, you got to get out there. You got to talk to people. And talking to people doesn't just include exchanging emails. You know, phone calls are a little bit better, but still, boots on the ground. Get out there, talk to people. I think those are the best researchers. Those are the best investigators, ones that are balanced between those two. And there's plenty of people that are out there doing it. Probably the best UFO investigator is probably somebody you never even heard of because they're too busy doing research to really brag about what they're doing. Or to go out on shows every 5 minutes. Not that Stanton Friedman wasn't doing anything. Granted, you know, researching for 60 years, that's something to talk about. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, I will never come close anywhere near anything that Stanton Friedman's ever accomplished. By far, he's one of the best, if not the best, but it's kind of hard to rank, I'd say. So, but now let's get into probably the biggest paranormal story And I would say the biggest mystery so far of the year, if I had the name one, yes, it's only January 7th. So we're only a week into the year. But this is, you always get this, I don't know, every year there just seems like there's this the story that comes out of nowhere. You didn't, I mean, you never really expect anything, but it just comes out of left field. It's just a subject that you never really thought of. I mean, sky noise came out early in the year. We had the aflocalypse start really early in the year, one year. And now we've got drones. But we've talked about drones here on the show a number of times over the years, mostly being a cause for misidentification. But now we've got swarms of giant drones scaring people. Yes. So since mid-December, sheriff's departments in Colorado, mostly Colorado, but also Nebraska and now Kansas, have been inundated with calls of swarms of giant drones in the sky. And yes, that has a lot of people thinking UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs. That's the new UFO. One witness described seeing about a dozen or more drones that had a wingspan of at least 6 feet. I don't think you can buy that at Walmart. Sheriff's departments are now joined by the FBI, the FAA, and the Air Force in getting to the bottom of the mystery that has many residents in these three states feeling nervous, vulnerable, and downright scared. A local CBS affiliate waited for nightfall with one of the witnesses and was able to actually document one of the drones. The FAA and Air Force have both claimed they do not know who is behind the drones, and the FAA even said they're not even sure if these are drones. What does that mean? What do they know? Despite the number of witnesses and actual videos of these drones, none of the agencies feel that the drones pose any sort of threat and seem to be downplaying the activity, which seems kind of suspicious to me. Although this could be to cause people to kind of calm down a little bit, because there is a lot of people that are getting a little excited about this. People are getting very fearful out in those three states about what's going on. There is growing concern. It's almost to the boiling point at this point right now. Colorado seems to be the epicenter behind the sightings and has even created a task force. That's right, a task force to find these drones or find out who's behind these things. To look for a command vehicle of some sort that could be deploying these drones. So they're looking for a closed box trailer with antennas or potentially a large van. Last night, so Monday night, a specially armed airplane with three cameras that can see in color and infrared even went in search of the drones but had no luck. And over the weekend, one of the new leading explanations of what the drones could be came out, and the Air Force Global Strike Command. This oversees underground Minuteman silos across northeastern Colorado, southeastern Wyoming, and western Nebraska, which are the areas which the drones have been spotted. So the Air Force uses these drones to keep other drones away from bases and from these launch areas to keep the United States bases secure from prying eyes or from other types of aerial attacks. Drones are usually, we kind of think of them as flying around with cameras on them, but you can attach missiles, you can attach other things, lasers, weapons, EMP, launch things that just ruin communications and all kinds of stuff. Not that I'm trying to give anybody any ideas here, but so the Air Force basically, it's kind of like a third party company. So they don't really own these. They just basically contract the Air Force Global Strike Command. They just kind of pay this company to just patrol our stuff, kind of like really expensive security guards and really, really cool trucks that fly with cameras and other equipment. But probably a badge and a gun. The Air Force uses these drones, again, to keep other drones away. So I don't know. Like, these are different, though. These aren't like, I'm trying to explain this. This, they're not like your regular drones. Kind of think of almost the stuff that you see the military use. You know, those kind of drones. not the drones with the four little helicopters that make little bzzz noises. But that's not really what's been described. So I don't know. This seems like there's a lot of different information. But again, the Air Force already said stepped forward and said that we're not responsible. So they've already said that. So I don't know why they're thinking that this Air Force Global Strike Command is responsible. And the Air Force says that they have nothing to do with it. So these are, I guess, what you call counter drones. And they said they're not responsible. They've denied that the drones are theirs, which I guess when you think about it, technically, they do belong to a third party and not the Air Force. So I guess they're telling the truth in government fashion. You know, plausible deniability. It's not us because it's not really us because we don't own them. And it's true. The military drone hypothesis was made from drone and aviation experts in Colorado, some of which have their own interesting sighting. I think it was last week. Chris Swathwood of the Chair of Legislative Affairs Committee for the Colorado Aviation Business Association and a seasoned drone pilot stated, quote, "We did get eyes on one about 200 to 300 feet above, and it was moving at about 100 knots. It was large. It was a large fixed-wing aircraft. It was dark, and it had lights unlike any other manned aircraft would normally have." Unquote. So there's some, I mean, just weird things, weird sightings about this. Swathwood also stated he feels the drone was more than 8 feet in size. And a drone of this size would probably use a runway to take off, or it could take off vertically. But it had a drive motor in the back propelling it forward. So again, not like your typical drones, more like the drones you see, you know, bombing places, those long drones. You know, the Avengers when Tony Stark. Geez, am I really talking about the Avengers? You know, he took that nuclear warhead. It was kind of shaped like that, but instead of a jet on the back, it would just have a propeller system on the back. Very similar to our drones that we do put up for high surveillance satellite imagery and radio. We can pick up people talking, especially if they're flying over my house right now. They can hear me talking on the show. Spooky stuff. But these aren't cheap. So if that's true, if what they saw was real, if what they saw was what they really saw, I'm sure they know what they saw. That's what everybody says. So yeah, this is more similar to something the military uses for large areas of surveillance. So these would be probably remotely flown from just about anywhere. So they wouldn't have a command truck down the street parked at Starbucks using the Wi-Fi. This is something that could be hundreds of miles away. Really. And these aren't cheap. Like I said, they're probably about $100,000 each or more to build. Depends on what's actually in these things. If there's any type of surveillance equipment or looking at any kind of radar, looking at ground penetration radar or things like that that oil companies use. So speaking of oil companies, the U.S. Air Force as well as oil and gas companies have denied using these types of drones in the past. So far, Amazon, Paragon Geophysical Services, the U.S. Geological Survey, the Colorado Department of Transportation, and UAV Recon have also denied having any connections to the drones. So who's behind these sightings? Who's behind these drones, I should say? Who's flying the planes? What's going on? This is a big mystery, and it's been getting bigger and bigger, especially over this last weekend. When it first kind of popped on the radar, I wasn't really even thinking about talking about it here on the Paranormal News Show, but it's gaining national attention. It's starting to get to be a pretty big deal, and people are starting to get panicked about it a little bit. Okay, a lot bit in Colorado. People are really panicking about this. Officials are warning people, however, don't shoot at the drones. Don't shoot at the drones. The And there's a couple of downsides to that. You know, what goes up comes down. So if you miss this, your ammo is going to come down on somebody else, or maybe even yourself, or your cat. So it's highly dangerous. You know, you could shoot one of these things down. It could land. It could catch fire. It could blow something up. It could land on a car. But it's also illegal. You cannot shoot a drone down. Drones are very highly regulated. And there's a lot of red tape when it comes to drones. A lot of things. And if you got one for Christmas, you know, if you had to fill out paperwork for it, there's a lot of laws. There's a lot of things you can't do. You can't fly over national parks. You can't fly near airports. You can't fly over a lot of places that people still do anyway. Highly regulated stuff. You got to have a license for certain weights and certain they can fly high enough and all this and that. And this latest activity right now is making officials think that drones should have ways to be identified from a distance so that mysteries like this are not turned into potential threats. And it's funny that this is coming up and they're talking about this because last month, yes, in fact, last month, the FAA announced a proposed rule that would ensure all drones registered by the agency have remote identification technology. So I don't know, maybe the FAA is behind this. Maybe they're just pushing for regulation. The plot thickens. Granted, if these weren't military, I mean, wouldn't you think if these were not military, people were panicking, these things are near military bases, don't you think the Air Force would be out in force, pun intended, looking for these things? I mean, in the matter of national security, wouldn't there be like Black Hawks flying around, other drones flying high, looking for these things? I think yes. So my opinion, I think they're, I don't want to say they're covering it up, but they're just not talking about it, and they're just going to stop doing it for a while, or kind of cover this up. That's my thought on this. But on the other side, yes, on the other coin, got to balance the show out here. It's also been proposed that maybe somebody saw a handful of drones in one location, probably big, probably these, you know, ones that were described. But now other people are seeing different things, such as satellites, maybe even stars, airplanes. They're just misidentifying them. Maybe a lot of these sightings aren't what people think they are. And this drone paranoia has grown pretty large in these states. It's front page news. It's all over the news. People are panicking. People are genuinely panicking about these things that are coming out at night. They don't come out during the day. You know, drones are dangerous. They were showing on one of the articles I was watching, they had a video where it showed a lightweight airplane. And they showed pushing a drone into an aircraft wing, and it punctured the wing. It went through the wing. So it could down a plane. Especially small planes that fly at lower elevations. If it goes into the engine, it's like a bird strike. You know, these drones are made out of metal. They're not super heavy, but at the elevation, at the even just sitting still, and an airplane hits it at a couple hundred miles an hour, it's going to cause damage. It could kill somebody. And especially when it's 8 feet wide, that's definitely going to hurt somebody. These things, yes, you can probably put all kinds of weapons on them if you really wanted to. This was the big scare when drones were becoming popular. Oh, great. We're strapping cameras to these things. What else are we going to strap on them? Cats? What's next? Bombs? We got lights. We got people making these things into UFOs. It's not funny. It's not funny. And drone paranoia, like I said, taking over these states, especially at night, people are filming everything. Any light in the sky, they're filming and calling it a drone now, which is just crazy. People are panicking. And there's been a few sightings. There's Facebook groups. People are posting things when they see it, and other people are reacting to these. Trained observers are looking, and a lot of these instant sightings that are posted, there's nothing there, nothing plausible to these sightings. So this is kind of a flap of drone sightings, very similar to UFO flaps that are sometimes spurred by panic. People overreact. You know, I'm not saying that they're all explainable, but I think maybe a lot of these are explainable. But still, what is going on out there and what's behind these drones? I got a handful of links for that story. I'll put out a few during the week through social media, but I'm going to put at least one here in the chat room. This is the latest one about them thinking that they've solved the mystery. But still, I mean, there's news stories coming like every 15, 20 minutes about this. So keeping an eye on this for you guys. And when we get a solution, yes, we're going to talk about it here. But so far, it's the biggest mystery of 2020. Well, it's in the strange news. And speaking of strange, we've got kids. Kids are strange. And kids say the darndest things. And kids ask the darndest things as well. Children, they're mysterious to begin with. And they're very hungry for knowledge. A poll was conducted by OnePoll on behalf of the History Channel, you've heard of them, on some of the things that kids think about. It polled over 1,000 British primary school-aged children, as well as 1,000 parents. The number one curiosity? What are ghosts? Yes, they want to know what ghosts are and if they exist. That's great. Great to hear that. Around 32% of kids polled wondered about ghosts. So almost a third of kids want to know about spooky specters, ghosts, all that fun stuff. 30% wondered about extraterrestrials. So I guess we don't care as much about ET as we do Casper or ghosts. And just 23% want to know if the Loch Ness Monster was more than a legend. Wow, UK kids looking more for ghosts than the Loch Ness Monster, the hometown hero. Wow. One topic was Stonehenge. Stonehenge, 44% of kids correctly identified it as an ancient monument, while 14% thought it was the remains of an old house. And 5% thought it was an alien landing pad. I know what show they were watching on the History Channel. One astonishing takeaway was that a third of the children polled thought the internet had always existed. Yes, the internet's not always been around. Smartphones have not always been around. And Google, it's not that old, believe it or not. I mean, I guess for as far as kids are concerned, it's always existed for them. So they don't know any different, you know, to them. You know, even a week seems like a month to them, and a month seems like a year in their perspective. So what do they know? What do they know? Of the top 20 questions plaguing children are many that we would expect. You know, where do babies come from? Why is the sky blue? But a good chunk of these questions come from the paranormal, such as number 17, are Yetis real? Yetis. Kids actually know what Yetis are. That's great. Well, probably because they watch, was that a Disney movie that the Yetis on? Number 13, do mermaids exist? Yes, mermaids, one of the oldest cryptids. Number 11, do elves exist? Too many movies, kids. Too many movies. Number 10, do unicorns exist? I guess unicorns never go out of fashion, do they? They're always hip and cool. I saw a lot of those, a lot of unicorn decorations along with llamas for Christmas last year. I don't quite understand that, but okay. Unicorns are cool. I'll give you that. As long as I got rainbow stuff coming out of their butts. That's pretty cool. Number 6, do fairies exist? Because that kind of goes with the elves a little bit. I know they're different. In all fairness, let me read the rest of the top 5. So number 5, does the tooth fairy exist? Not quite paranormal. Not quite paranormal. Number four, is the Loch Ness Monster real? Number three, is Santa Claus real? Number two, do aliens exist? And of course, like I mentioned, number one, do ghosts exist? And yeah, that is strange. I didn't think about that. I did not see anything about God on there. Do they believe in God? I guess that's kind of, I don't, you know, do you really ask a kid that though anyway? It's a little bit more complex of a question, I suppose, because they're going to just really reflect on what they're told or what they're taught. But, you know, as far as Santa Claus and ghosts, all that, it's really interesting to see what kids think about. Because parents can tell them anything, but kids are going to kind of form their own opinion at a young age about some of this stuff, you know, what they believe in or what they think. But there and again, I think a lot of that's based on their perception of the world around them and really what they've been fed so far, not food-wise, but media-wise, what movies they're watching. So I guess if they're thinking about elves and some of those things, maybe they're watching The Witcher on Netflix. Am I getting paid for that? Probably not. It's a good show. It's a good show. Just finished that last night. Yeah, that's what I'm doing in my spare time, watching Netflix series. But yeah, I think they get a lot of that stuff from TV and stuff. But it's really interesting to listen to what kids have to say about this stuff. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, kids can see ghosts because their minds are not inundated with all the stuff that we are. And they're free from heavy opinions and trying to prove everybody, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I just think that they're not trying to tell anybody anything to impress them. I think they just kind of go along with the flow. But I don't think they see ghosts more than anybody else. But it's really interesting that that's the number one thing. I mean, of all the things that are going on out there in the world, on movies, TV shows, books, so on and so forth, you don't really hear that much about ghosts. But yet, there it is, almost a third of kids want to know about ghosts. I think that's pretty impressive. Maybe it's because of all the ghost TV shows. I mean, this is the United Kingdom, and ghosts have always been more popular there. Believe it or not, here in the United States, it's been more popular out there than it is here. So, what is that? Messiah? I've never heard of that. Don't know what that is. I'll look it up. So let me get that link in the chat room. And again, if you enjoy the show and you couldn't be in the chat room, you missed out. You missed out on the links. But fear not, because during the week, I will be pumping these and many more links out about the show. Very insightful things, extra information, pretty much to verify what I'm talking about here on the show. I do my research. That's one thing I do. And yes, I just said do. I like to do the research. I like to get the information correct. I'm not just going to sit up here, read a headline, and then speculate about it for 25 minutes. No. I do a lot of research behind these stories, and I want you to know the truth, because that's what this whole entire thing is about. It's about the truth. And I'm not just out here spouting opinions. Sometimes the truth is hard to swallow. Sometimes the truth, you'd rather ignore it. Sometimes the truth hurts. I want to hit you square in the head. Sometimes, again, yes, we don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to know the truth, but we have to deal with the truth. And the truth comes wherever the information and the data takes us, because that's the reality. You know, we can get by with beliefs only so far. What we want to think, what we want to feel, what we want to think is really happening around us, it's only going to take you so far. But the data and the information, that's where reality comes from. And that's what I rely on. Call me skeptical. Call me insightful. Call me a lot of things. That's okay. It's not going to hurt me. But you can call me Dr. Brian. And again, thank you to everybody in the chat room. Again, Happy New Year to everybody. I'm excited about this year. I think it's going to be a really fun year. I didn't really do any kind of predictions for the most part, but I do, again, I think UFOs are going to be the big thing of the year this year. I think you're going to hear a lot about them, a lot about some misinterpretations, but at the same time, I think we're going to have some really genuine sightings this year. I really feel strong about that. We're long overdue for another big sighting, you know, mass sighting or something very unexplainable happening in the skies over us. And I don't know. Let's see what the ghost field can do. Come on, guys. We got to step it up. We got to see what's going on there. And cryptids, I'm sure. Give it a week or two. We'll see something about the Loch Ness Monster. We'll see. But anyway, speaking of seeing you, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies. Watch out for drones. Keep your ears in the woods. Listen for those things. And keep the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, you know it. Don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.